Psalm 141. Well, this is a Psalm of David, and although David messed up, he was a very spiritual person, and I think you get an insight into sort of moment-by-moment spirituality here. Verse 1, come to me quickly, listen to my voice when I call to you. The idea is that be quick, come quickly to me, respond to my words quickly. But he uses that same Hebrew word in Psalm 119:60 when he says, I hurry, I haste to be obedient to your word. So you see this mutuality between God and man, that David hears God's word and he's quick to respond to it. And now he says, God, may you be quick to respond to my word. And the Lord Jesus says in John 15 that if his words abide in us, then we will ask what we want and we will receive it. Because our will, or our want, if you like, will become his will. We won't just ask random things out of our own will, but as his word abides in us, our will, the sort of things we pray for, become his will. And so there is a ever more positive experience in prayer, because you're asking for the right things. Then he says, verse 2, let my prayer be set before you. And I think the idea of the Hebrew is, may it be regularly set before you, like incense, the lifting up of my hands, like the evening sacrifice. So I think this was probably first written at a time when he was unable to offer the evening and morning sacrifice. And yet he realizes, through that experience of being pushed away from organized religion, that in fact he can, in essence, make those sacrifices morning and evening in his prayers. And you see that regular prayer time, morning and evening, is very clearly part of David's life, and you see that in a number of the Psalms. He sees that as the equivalent of the morning and evening sacrifices in the sanctuary. Now, these kind of things, regular devotion time, early in the morning, preferably with your family, in the evening, before you go to sleep, preferably with your family. These are the things that make up spiritual life. And it's no good saying that those kind of routines are mere legalism. They are not. This is the stuff of daily life. These are the ties that bind between God and man. Then he says, verse 3, set a watch, Yahweh, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. So he realizes, as he does in so many of the Psalms, particularly Psalm 119, that there is this higher hand of God, this willingness of God to act over and above our own very weak will, our own very weak self-control. He seems to feel that he's hot-blooded and has a tendency to say the wrong thing. Well, I'm sure that we can all identify with that. And he asks God to come and be involved. Likewise, verse 4, don't incline my heart to any evil thing. So he sees that God can incline the human mind, the human heart, the human worldview or psychology, whatever way you want to put it, in a word, the human spirit. And this inclination, this inclining of the human mind, one way or the other, is the work of God's Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is effectively the gift of a holy mind, of God in your mind, if that is what you want. And this is surely the answer to the need of every truly spiritual person. I want to think the right things, say the right things, but I'm weak. And this is where the gift of the Holy Spirit is so critically important. It is a gift right within the human mind. Now, by contrast, Solomon uses this word quite often in the sense of incline your hearts to wisdom. He tells people to incline their own hearts, whereas his father David asks God to do that. And I think that was the difference between David and Solomon, that David understood that I cannot do this in my own strength, whereas for Solomon it was all intellectual and academic and theoretical. That you have got to incline yourself to God's ways. And if you're wise, he says, that's what you're going to do. Whereas David realizes that that is not so simple. And he asks God to incline his heart. And in fact, he uses that word several times in Psalm 119 about how he himself inclined his heart to God, and or to God's word, but he asks God to incline his heart to him. And here in Psalm 141, verse 4, to incline his heart away from sin. So, sure, we have got to make our effort. We have got to have the desire, the inclination, if you like, towards spirituality. And yet, you've got to accept that nobody has got that steel will to achieve complete and total self-control. We need God's Spirit to incline us towards Him. And, you know, he quite unashamedly asks God to do that. Now, the problem of a totally academic and intellectual approach to God's truth is that we assume that somehow we can do it ourselves, that if I have the right knowledge in my brain, there will be the right outcomes in terms of real spirituality. But this does not follow. It's not true to observed experience. And if it were true, why then do we have these requests to incline me to the right way and not to incline me to evil? Because just as the Holy Spirit works to incline us to that which is good, so, as he says here, verse 4, don't incline my heart to anything evil. It also works the other way. And I think he must have had in mind Saul, who he suffered terribly from. And the evil spirit from the Lord comes upon Saul several times. And in fact, whenever it comes upon him, it's just after Saul has had some sort of contact with David. And it's quite clear that he was suffering from a jealousy complex. He was not controlling himself. And God is inclining him, is encouraging him in that way, because that is the way that Saul wanted to go. So the importance of our basic spiritual desire remains, because God is going to confirm you in the way in which you choose to go. He will not zap you and force you against your will either way, but he will confirm us. And here is where you come back to something very basic. Do you love God? Do you really love God and his ways? Do you really want to be like God? To think as he would? To think as the Lord Jesus would? Well, in that case, then, he will confirm you in that, if you ask him, and if you accept that in my own strength, sadly, I cannot do this. I need his help. And it's his will that we should be spiritually minded, and he will give it to us.